Thank you so much for joining us today at our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
How many know when you're going through a difficult season, you need a new perspective? Because if you don't get out of that season, sometimes God allows us to go through seasons that should end. But if we don't change our perspective, sometimes the seasons turn into cycles. So my prayer today is that we get a new perspective. And I do believe this. God's going to speak to us today. I want to be in the book of John. If you have your Bibles or your devices, you can look on the screen. We're going to put all of my notes on the screen. John chapter 10. These are the words of Jesus. We're going to look at the whole chapter, but I want to focus specifically on just a couple of verses this morning. This is Jesus speaking, and this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's what a good shepherd does. He says, I'm the good shepherd. Which implies, how many know there's some bad shepherds? Not every voice that you hear, you need to give cadence to. There's some voices out there that are trying to shepherd your life that are not the good shepherd. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. There's some bad shepherds too. Everybody say bad shepherd. Look at verse 1, go back. Speaking of bad shepherd. Very truly, I tell you, Jesus said, he's telling the Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, everybody say sheep pen, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. There are some forces who's trying to enter in areas of your life that are there for one reason and one reason only. That is to steal. In fact, Jesus tells us specifically a scripture that we all know, we quote all the time, but I want to give you the context of it about one of these thieves. He says this in verse 10. Jesus says this, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and to the full. So there is an enemy that comes to steal. Jesus is telling us there is a sheep gate. There is a shepherd and there is a thief. What does the thief want to steal? He wants to steal sheep. What does he want to kill? He wants to kill sheep. What does he want to destroy? He wants to destroy sheep. But the other part of that is that Jesus says, but I've come to give you life and give you to the full. So I just want you to paint this. I want to paint this picture. Here's the metaphor that Jesus is giving. In life, he says, Jesus is the good shepherd. That's what I want you to understand. The sheep pen is the church. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the body of Christ, the kingdom of God. That is what the sheep pen is. Satan is the thief, and we are the sheep. Satan comes to take sheep out of the church, away from the voice of the good shepherd, so he can steal, kill, and destroy. Do you know what it's called when an enemy kidnaps, steals, kills, and destroys? You call that war. I want to preach a message to you this morning simply entitled, There's a War on Wool. There's a war on wool. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the reading of your word. God, I pray today that it's not my words, it's not my thoughts, it's your words and your thoughts. God, we're in a war. And in the war, we need your word. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. How many of you know 2020 has been crazy? Crazy. Just think about some of the things we've seen in 2020. Impeachment, COVID, racial tension. You can just feel stuff, can't you? Hurricanes. We have an election in like 50 days. I mean, the LSU Tigers lost yesterday. That is, it's crazy. It's a crazy year. And what I want to do this morning is I want to unpack this text, and I want to look at the year 2020 through John chapter 10. I think in whatever season in our life, we ought to be able to open up the Word of God. We'll be able to open up the Bible, and we ought to be able to view what we're going through in the context of God's Word. I think when we preach, it ought to smell like real life. Okay, so we're going to unpack John chapter 10 through the year 2020. If you look at the year 2020, it's been polarizing, hasn't it? I mean, when I say polarizing, it's like opposite ends of the spectrum. It's like you just look at everything in our world right now, and there's two spectrums. There's two sides. There's two plans. There's two agendas. When two things are pulling on each other, you call that tension. You call it war. John chapter 10 says, here's the two plans. The thief comes. Here's the first plan. Here's what I want you to see. The first plan, to steal and kill and destroy. That's the first plan of 2020. However, there's an ulterior plan that's going on at the same time. The second plan is this, that you can have life, OSC, and you can have it to the full. You can have an abundant life. That is the plan. So one plan, one side, wants to steal from you. It wants to steal from you emotionally and physically and spiritually and relationally. It wants to kill the plans and the purposes of God on the inside of you. It wants to destroy you. It wants to destroy your business. It wants to destroy your kids. It wants to destroy your marriage. It wants to destroy your family. But on the other side of that plan is Jesus. And Jesus comes to give you life in the midst of everything that's happening in 2020. Not just to give you life, but to give it to you full. Everybody say full. Can you see the tension in 2020? Do you feel it? Come on, do you feel it? Can you sense it? You just turn on the news and you see it. And if 2020 has taught us anything, it's that there is a war going on. And if we're not careful in this war, you're going to get the sides messed up, because you're not going to see sheep and sheep stealer. You're going to see black and white. You're going to see Republican and Democrat. You're going to see mask and no mask. You're going to see us against them. But that's not what Jesus is telling to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. There is only one enemy. It's the enemy of your soul. Ephesians chapter 6 says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against Republicans and Democrats. We're not fighting against black and white, but against evil of rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. You have to understand the source of the battle. The source of the battle is Satan himself. And his enemy is one thing. Sheep. And the further we get along in this thing, the worse it's going to get. The enemy's always had one plan. He tried to pluck sheep out the garden. That's how the beginning of the book started. You want me to get to the end of the book? Let me just tell you what it says about the last days. This is Matthew chapter 24. Listen what Jesus says. I just want you to think of the context of 2020. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Race against race. Party against party. Faction against faction. And we bought into it. Y'all, he has us doing his dirty work. We think the other party is the enemy. There will be famines, plagues, diseases, and earthquakes, hurricanes, wildfires in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over and persecuted and put to death. You will be hated by all nations because of me. This is Jesus. Watch this. At that time, many will turn from their... He's talking about sheep. Leaving the sheep pen, leaving the church, leaving the body of Christ, and they will, watch this, and they will betray and hate each other. I think the enemy likes when you get on Facebook. I think he likes that we're more passionate about our political affiliation than the kingdom that we belong to. I had one guy this week tell me, he goes, I don't know why you've been on politics. He goes, I'm just a passionate guy. Stop telling me not to be passionate about politics. I said, your problem is your passion is only limited to politics. If you would be that passionate about Jesus, we wouldn't even need to be talking about who the next president. We'd be in revival. The plan of the enemy is to always get the sheep away from the sheep pen so they can no longer hear the shepherd's voice. And that's bad news for us. Why? Because we are sheep. Come on, ask your neighbor. Say, how you doing, sheep? Say, not too bad. Somebody told me this morning I have way too many dad jokes. And they said, please stop saying cheesy jokes from the pulpit. I said, as long as they laugh, I'm going to keep saying them. let me give you a couple of facts about sheep. Do you know that sheep are mentioned more than any other animal in the Bible? Watch this. Sheep are mentioned over 200 times. Dogs, just in case you're wondering, are mentioned 44 times. Pigs, 14. And cats, 0. And for some reason, when God decided to call us an animal, y'all, he called the sheep. Y'all ain't clapping for that. You know why? Because sheep are stupid. Y'all ever see a trained sheep in the circus? No, because you can't train a sheep. They're just stupid. They got poodles. They got elephants. They got tigers. No sheep. And because of that, because sheep are stupid, how many of you understand sheep are easy targets? We are. That's why all it takes is 2020 to happen for all the sheep to scatter. All it takes is the coronavirus to happen for all the sheep to scatter. All it takes is some political unrest for all the sheep to leave the sheep pen because we're just easy targets. We're not that smart. We just haven't figured this thing out. And there's four things that the enemy knows about you that you may not know about yourself. And so I want to give you four things, then I'm going to give you God's answer to these four things, okay? Write these things down. Four things the enemy knows about sheep that help him plan his attack. Number one, write this down. These are going to be very quick. Sheep get lost easily. I ain't talking about Waze. I ain't talking about MapQuest. I'm not talking about nautical directions. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritually lost. We just seem to wander, don't we? Look at Isaiah, what Isaiah says. We, all like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own. Just think about this. A sheep in the... All the sheep's over here with the shepherd in the green pasture, and here's what we do. We all have a way. Like, I don't know what your poison is, but we all have a way. Some of us chase women. Some of us chase alcohol. Some of us chase, I don't know what it is. You have a way. James says this, that we're each given over to our own evil desire. You may like coconut. I like Nutella. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He Googled you. He knows how to get you away. Why? Because every single one of us tend to stray. We tend to wander. We tend to go our own way. There's something innate on the inside of every single one of us just to find our own way. We'll chase success. We'll chase women. We'll chase men. Whatever it is that we feel like the grass is greener in another pasture, let me tell you where the grass is greenest at, where you water it. But there's something on the inside of us that just, we go astray. We get lost. And we keep thinking, if I keep going this way, sooner or later I'll find happiness. Sooner or later I'm going to find my purpose. Sooner or later I'm going to find the girl. Yet we fail to understand that while we're on a quest to find all these things, we're all alone. Sheep without a shepherd get lost easily. Did you ever get to a place in your life and wonder, how did I even get here? This wasn't my plan. We get lost. Number two, write this down. I'm just telling us about ourselves. Number two, sheep are defenseless. It's so crazy to think that every animal, I was going through this with my kids last night, they were helping me write this. We were beginning to think of every animal that has some form of defense mechanism. You can think of just about every animal has a defense mechanism except sheep. I mean, even a cat will claw your eyes out. I mean, just think about this. Some animals have teeth and fangs. That's their defense mechanism. Some have horns or antlers. That's their defense mechanism. Some can fly away. Some can elude you with their speed. Some have strength. Some have camouflage. I mean, even the skunk got stank. Porcupines have quills. You know what a sheep's got? Cotton. Think about this. Here's what the Bible says about the enemy. The enemy has fiery arrows and darts, and his target is cotton. How many of you know that's not good? How many know cotton burns? We are defenseless. The most defenseless animal on the planet is a sheep away from the shepherd. And it's easy for us to get away from the shepherd because, number three, write this down, sheep are stubborn. Stubborn. You know what stubborn is? You think your way is best. Watch this. Tell your neighbor you're stubborn. I saw some of you, you're like, I ain't saying I'm stubborn. You know why? Because you're stubborn. I ain't saying what he's saying. I don't care what he says. I ain't saying it. That's because you're stubborn. That's exact. And your wife's saying amen. She's standing next to you, right? Yep. Sheep are so stubborn that sometimes when they get away from the flock, sheep would get wedged into rocks. Now watch this. They would try to go into places that they cannot physically fit into. And here's the thing about sheep. Sheep are too stubborn, too stupid, just to back that thing up. And so what they do is they think to themselves, I got to try harder. I got to go faster. And so their little sheep legs dig in and start going harder and faster. There is no reverse on a sheep. No beep, beep. There is none. They're so stubborn, they keep getting deeper and deeper and more wedged in and more trapped, getting more stuck. Does that sound familiar? Do you ever feel like you ain't got no reverse? I went to high school with a dude named Kenny. Kenny had a truck that had no reverse. That thing is hard to maneuver. How many know if you ain't got a reverse, you're going to get stuck at Walmart? You can get into some predicaments, but because you don't have a reverse, you ain't getting out. How many know I'm not talking about parking spots anymore? Just keep getting stuck. Have you ever got to a place you just kept going further and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into that sin, into that relationship, and you feel like there's no way out? That's us. And number four, real quick. Sheep are filthy. We nasty. I know what you're thinking. Like, I've seen sheep on TV. They're all white and fluffy. No, that dude was power washed before they put him on TV. Sheep are nasty. Sheep do not have the ability to clean themselves. They're just nasty. And I say this respectfully to everyone in this room because I'm speaking to myself. You nasty too. Come on, just tell your neighbor, say, you filthy animal. But our problem is this. We say this all the time. Oh, he's just a good man. Oh, he's just a good, good man. You know, that Danny, he's a good man. That Pam, she's a good, good lady. Yeah, to what you comparing them to. The problem is you compare them to other sheep. In the eyes of other sheep, they are good. In the eyes of other sheep, I may be good. But you know what Jesus says about me? Isaiah chapter 64, we are all as an unclean thing. And all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. That's how good I am. I'm filthy. I'm nasty. That's who I am. Look at Romans 10. There is no one, not even one, who is righteous. Not one of us is good. What is he saying? By ourselves, there's nothing good inside of me. In Nick Carroll, there's nothing good by myself. By ourselves, none of us can make it. Why? Because sheep are stupid. And if you get nothing else out of this in 2020 and 2021 and 2031 and 50 years from now, sheep need a shepherd. You need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. Let me say it this way. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. St. Landry Parish needs Jesus. Louisiana needs Jesus. If ever before, America, we need Jesus. Because he is the only good shepherd. So what does a good shepherd do? I just want to give you four incredible qualities of a good shepherd. And then we're just going to worship for a little bit at the end. And I just want you to, you're going to see that song that we sang. You're going to see it in a whole nother way if I do this right. Are you with me? Okay, so write this down. Number one, a good shepherd guides me. Let's go to my favorite psalm. You've read this, you've heard this at funerals. I just want to spend some time here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. Everybody say, lie down. The main role of a shepherd is to guide. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me into paths of righteousness. If you feel like you're being led and it's not righteousness, it's not the good shepherd that's leading you. He leads me. The role of the shepherd is to guide me where to go, to guide me what to do. That's what a good shepherd does. And if you just think about 2020, y'all, if you think about what's happening in our world is full of shepherds trying to lead you, trying to give you their opinion, trying to tell you where to go, trying to tell you what to think. It's all the shepherds. It's all the voices. It's all the sides. It's all the talking heads. If ever before we need guidance, it's right now. We need guidance. How will he guide you? Look at John chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. It says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd and the sheep. This is so rich. They recognize his voice, and they come to him, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Sheep know the shepherd's voice. They know the shepherd's voice. How do you know the shepherd's voice? You have to spend time with the shepherd. If I brought my wife into this room, imagine this. Just imagine this. Forget this room. If I put my wife in a room with 50 other women and they're all talking because that's what women do. Have you noticed that? There's 50 conversations going on and they know all 50 of them. If you put 50 men in a room, we ain't talking. We're watching the game. We're talking about the... But if you put 50 women in a room talking, and my wife, Rachel, is in there talking amongst the 50, and I blindfolded you and said, go in there and get Rachel, probably 99% of you would not find my wife. You can't recognize her voice. And if you can't recognize her voice, it's one of two reasons. Number one, you don't know who she is. Or number two, you haven't spent enough time with her to know her voice. But I'm telling you one thing. After knowing her voice for the last 18 years, I can walk into a room with 1,000 voices blindfolded, and I can just listen, and I can say, there she is right there. I don't care what all the other voices are saying, but that's the voice I need to hear in this moment. And that's what I'm saying in 2020. That's how it has to be with God, because all these voices are screaming. All these emotions are coming up. You better know the voice of the shepherd. That's how it's got to be with him, because God wants you to know him, and he wants you to be close to him. He calls his own sheep by name is what verse 3 says. I love that. I read an article as a study
about the most beautiful thing that you can hear is when someone in authority says your name. Doesn't that make you feel good? When someone of high importance knows your name? Man, this something happens on the inside. You with me, Carl? See? Something happens. Man, look, there's thousands of people that come to our Savior's Church. I know more faces than names. And every once in a while, I see some of you in the store. I'm like, what's up, buddy? Hey, you. What's up, my man? Hey, brother. What that simply means, I don't know your name. I'm trying. I just don't know your name. If I do that to you, why don't you stop and say, hey, how you doing? I'm Ted. Just tell me your name. Tell me your name, because I know your face. But when someone says your name, the scripture says he knows your name. He knows everything about you. He knows your thoughts. He knows what makes you tick. He knows your emotions. Why? Because he created you. He knows everything about you. He's the good shepherd. And because he's the good shepherd and knows everything about you, he's calling your name for one reason, for you to follow him. Why would you follow him? Because number two, he provides for you. That's what the good shepherd does. He provides for you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down. Everybody say lie down. How many of you have seen sheep before? Me? How many of you have seen sheep lie down? Not very many of you. You know why? Sheep don't lie down very often. They don't. Only 5% of their life is spent lying down. 5%. Because in order for a sheep to lie down, some things have to be right in their life. Now, watch this. If he's not well fed, he won't lie down. If he's hungry, he will not lie down. If he has any tension or stress, he will not lie down. If he's stressed out, he's going to stand. He's going to wander. He's not going to lie down. And number three, if he's afraid, he will not lie down. So when it says, he makes me lie down, he's making sure that he's given me exactly what I need. He makes sure that I have peace. He makes sure there's no tension. He makes sure that he's leading me to the right place. Why? It says he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He's such a good provider that he goes past the flesh, the things that I think I need in my belly, and he goes straight to my soul. He goes, forget about the meals that you think you need to sustain you. I want to give you some peace that's going to sustain you and some joy and some strength. He doesn't just give you a job. He doesn't just give you material blessings, but he gives you joy unspeakable. He gives you a peace that transcends all understanding. He gives you grace beyond yourself. He gives you strength to keep going, because the truth is, that's the stuff that I really need. So he just makes me lay down. Number three, he even corrects me. Nobody's amen in that one. I don't like correction. And it's not fun when you're being corrected. But you know that Job actually said you're blessed when you're corrected? Some of y'all are real blessed right now. Watch this. Blessed is the one who God corrects. What? I just use that on my kids. I'm about to bless y'all. Bend over. I'm going to bless you twice. Blessed is the one whom God corrects. Okay, so because of that thought, because of his character, watch this. So do not despise the blessing. Do not despise the discipline. For he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but he also heals. This does not make sense unless you see this through the eyes of a shepherd. It seems an odd thing for God to wound something only to heal something. The problem is, for many of us, we look at the wounds in our life as from God, but we don't look at the healing that way either. We don't understand the divorce. We don't understand why we lost stuff. We don't understand. And so instead of viewing it as a blessing of what God's ultimate purpose was, we get mad, we get offended, so we start listening to other voices other than the one of the Good Shepherd. So I've learned this about good shepherds. It was very common for a little, you know, stupid sheep to leave the flock and go where he's vulnerable to the wolves, to the edge of the cliff, to the creek where he can fall in and not swim and get in trouble. Do you know what the shepherd would do to the sheep that would wander off? The shepherd would actually use his rod to break the back leg of the sheep. And you're like, oh my, that's so PETA. I'm calling PETA. That doesn't make any sense. Why would he do that? It's because of the next position that he places the sheep in after he wounds it. Put up this picture. This is a sheep who had his leg broken by the shepherd. What the shepherd would do is he would break the hind leg of the sheep. Then he would put the sheep in a position that his ear was now next to his mouth. So now, instead of hearing all the lies of the enemy of what the shepherd did and how bad the church is and why you went through divorce, now you're on the shoulders of Jesus himself, and he's carrying you, and every step he takes, he's whispering how much he loves you in your ear. Is your perspective changing? That's the discipline of God. Not to hurt you, but to heal you. I'll be honest. No one sits around thinking, oh, this is going to be so good. I'm about to get disciplined by the Lord. Sock it to me, Jesus. Hit me good, big shepherd. Nobody says that. My kids don't say, yippee, dad's about to spank us. All we see is the pain, never the purpose. And if you can switch your perspective from the pain to the purpose, watch how Hebrews says it. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord's disciplines the one that he loves. The fact that he disciplines just lets you know that he loves you. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but amen. But you can't stop reading there. Later on, my favorite word, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. I'm closing. Worship team, help me out, because we're going to sing this song in just a moment. And he does all this because he wants to finally protect you. Protect you. We're at war. How many know in war, you're only as good as your defense mechanism? We have a defense mechanism in Jesus. He protects me. We are in a war. Now let me read it to you as I close with this psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. If you hear nothing else today, you should hear that in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of 2020, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of social unrest, in the midst of everything that's happening in our nation, God is with you. Jesus is with you. He is with you. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with you. When you walk through cancer, He is with you. When you walk through divorce, He is with you. When you walk through COVID, He is with you. When your husband runs out on you, He is with you. No matter where you go, you cannot escape the love and the goodness of God. He is the good shepherd. He is with you. Every step that you take, He is with you. Somebody ought to shout amen this morning that God is with you. He is with you. When everyone is against you, He is with you. When the enemy is shooting darts at your heart, He is with you. When He's forming and fashioning weapons, He is with you. He's forming them right now, but the word says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Why? Because He is with you. He's with you when you wake up. He's with you when you sleep. He's with you when you're walking. He's with you when you're driving. He's with you. I wish you would get this. He's with you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know what the rod and the staff were? The rod was a weapon to fight off other animals. And the staff had a hook to rescue me if I was in danger. Y'all, the shepherd is packing heat. He's got your back. He says, you prepare a table for me. Where? Oh my goodness. When all hell is breaking loose, He says, kick off your shoes and grab a seat. I'm about to prepare a 5-course meal for you, even in the presence of everybody talking about you, all the haters, everything coming against you. Just sit down and relax, because I've been in the kitchen all day. He says, you anoint my head with oil. What does that even mean? Y'all know sheeps are fly magnets, right? They would get insects in their ear canals, and they would hear the bzzz. You know how irritating and annoying that is to have something in your ear that's blocking the voice of the one that you need to hear? How many things right now are just buzz in our ear trying to block the voice of the shepherd? And when He would put the oil on their heads, it would get down into their ear cavities and it would flush out all the irritating things. Flies would land and they would even lay eggs on the inside of their ears. To prevent this, the shepherd would pour oil over his sheep. He says, when He anoints our head with oil, it's like insect repellent. What's He saying? He says, I'll even take care of the things that irritate you. The things that distract you. My favorite one. My cup runneth over. Can I start preaching? You ever have people to your house, like dinner guests, like you prepare? Y'all do that, Danny? You have people over, you cook, Miss Pam, for them, right? Okay. A few years back, Rachel and I had a dinner party at our house, and everybody got there like 6 o'clock. We ate, we laughed, we played games, we talked. Then I'm ready to go to bed. Most of the guests in the room, they understand it's time to go. Usually, let me help you out, etiquette. When the first couple leaves, everybody else just follows suit. I'm helping you out, okay? I'm helping you out. This is free. So first couple, oh, we got to go. We got to get the kids. Yeah, us too. We got kids. Yeah, okay. Everybody leaves except one couple. So I'm a pastor. Every opportunity is an opportunity to minister to people. And I'm like, well, maybe they need to talk. Maybe there's an issue in their marriage. You know, maybe they need some Pastor Nick and Rachel time with them to help them out. I think that's what it's going to be. So I'm looking at them. Y'all good? Oh, yeah, we good, Pastor. The dude goes to my ottoman, gets a blanket and a pillow, grabs the remote, and lays on the floor and starts flipping through the channels. I was like, what is this? What, bro, what you doing, man? It's time to, Seven other couples just left. That's your cue. They're on the floor. Now they playing tickle time. Him and his wife in my living room. And this goes on for like 45 minutes. Hanging out. They sitting down. Hey, like, we love this show. And finally, I just looked at Rachel and I said, baby, why don't we go to bed so we can let these people go home? I had to kick him out. There is a tradition in the Bible, so it never had to get to this awkward place, that if you're a dinner guest at someone's house and they would serve you a glass of wine, for you to understand that you were still welcome, the dinner host would come back with a second round of wine and let you know that as long as I'm pouring wine, you can continue to stay. Your cue to leave was when the host stopped pouring the wine. That's why the first miracle at Cana, when Jesus turned the water into the wine, was so important. He was letting the people at the party know the party ain't over yet. I want you to stay. I want you to stay with me. Okay, you with me? So if you ever finished and he didn't pour, you had to leave. So what David was saying when it says, my cup runs over, he's saying in the presence of the Lord, I'm always welcome. I will never have to leave. He's got a spot for me. I can sit at his table. He keeps pouring the choice wine. It doesn't matter what I did. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I'm always welcome in the house of God. He keeps pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. And that's why, you know, the pessimist says, my cup is half empty. The optimist says, my cup is half full. But the child of God says, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. When? All throughout 2020. No matter who's in the White House. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There was a drama professor teaching his class on unction and delivery. And he says, today for practice, we're going to read the 23rd Psalm. I'm going to go first. And I want you to read this psalm with the eloquence of an oratory great like myself. So the drama professor, he said, I'll go first. And he was brilliant. He's like, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The whole thing, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. I mean, it was articulated so very well. All the students applauded. And then he pointed at a kid in the front row and he says, now I want you to do it. This was the shyest kid in the room. Everybody knew he was a Christian, but he was shy and he was scared to death. He never really publicly spoke. And this young Christian kid stood up and he started to read. The imagery of life began to flood his mind. And he remembered all that Jesus had done for him and all that he delivered him from. And all the times he's been with him. And he just began, not even to read it, but just to quote it from memory, because it was a Bible verse that his grandmother read to him. And he remembers seeing the goodness and the faithfulness and the mercy of God over and over. And he stood up. He didn't speak it eloquently, but he spoke with a quiver in his voice. His tear begins to fall down his face. And he began to say, and he lifted his hands, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He remembered how God provided when he was in a time of need, and he started to tremble. And he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And he gets overwhelmed with emotion. He could barely get through it. And when he got through it, nobody applauded. Nobody said a word. It was silence. And the drama professor looked at him and says, I may know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd. And if you don't know the shepherd, this week, this month, this year, I don't care what the next pandemic's going to be, what the next news cycle's going to be. It doesn't matter. We are listening to the wrong voices. We need the voice of the good shepherd. Today, we need to say, God, help us. God, I'm listening. Guide me. Make me lie down. I don't want to lie down because I'm so anxious and I'm tense. But God, you're my shepherd. God, I trust you. You protect me. You guide me. You lead me. We thank you, God, that you are the good shepherd. God, thank you for just a perspective change today. Thank you that no matter what comes our way, God, you are leading us and guiding us. We are your sheep, and your sheep know your voice. God, I pray as we leave today, God, we're competing with voices and news channels and political parties. But God, we hear your voice above any and above all. Now seal this time we had today, and let it not just be a message. God, let it be a way of life. In Jesus' name. And if you receive that, would you shout amen one last time today? Amen.